And away we go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. The big show is on the radio. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. What's happening, y'all? Great to be with you once again. I am, of course, Rob Brown. The pleasure exclusively mine. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for being a part of the show. Thanks for making us a part of your afternoon. Thank you for letting us be a part of yours. Back in the palatial ESPN Upstate Studios, in charge of buttons, switches, levers, and knobs, he is the alpha and the omega of ESPN Upstate and all things sports talk radio. He is Colonel Grudge. He is hashtag dadkicks. He is the content cash cow, the great one. Lonzo is at the helm. What up, Zoe? How was the weekend, pal?
The weekend was good. I just want to say I'm going to be the opposite of Rob and say the pleasure is all yours for me being here.
He is also a man of great humility. Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm so humble. Sometimes it hurts.
I was gonna say only his humility matched only by his good looks and charm. Just ask him; he'll tell you.
Or better yet, tune into the stream right now, ESPN Upstate Facebook page, and you can see how true those words are.
Yes, do that right now. Go to facebook.com/ESPN Upstate. Look, here's what we want for this stream. I want this stream to effectively become a second venue for the show. A venue for the show that is basically every bit as big as our on-air portion of the show. You guys can comment, talk with us during the breaks. If you are a wrestling fan, join us in there because I'm sure there will be no shortage of wrestling takes from the weekend. And don't worry, last hour of the show, we're going to do a segment wrapping up WrestleMania. Night number one, in my opinion, vastly superior to night number two, although a phenomenal main event in night number two. We're going to break all of that down coming up later in the show. But join us in the stream, chat with us. You guys are going to help us program the show, select the segments you want to hear, etc. Your voice is just as powerful on the stream as it is on the air. So again, check it out, facebook.com/ESPN Upstate. Twitter.com/TheRobBrownShow. Twitter.com/TheRobBrownShow. You can join Zoe on Twitter as well, at Lonzo and Word, and all of us at ESPN Upstate on the Twitter device. Want you to hit us up on YouTube. If you got a smart TV, you can go to the YouTube app, search The Rob Brown Show on the YouTubes, and you can pull us right there up on your television, just like you were watching a TV show. That's what we're here for. All access, all the time. So join us, won't you? 844-GSP. ESPN is the number to be a part of the show. Text us at 71307. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with ESPN so we can read them on the air. Let's have a little fun on the show today. Let's get to it. Let's jump into sports. We got more that we can shake a stick at to talk about today. Sozo, let's start the show off with that little thing that we do. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show brings you the lunch breakdown, the three things you have to know before you go talk sports with your friends, family, coworkers, or the dog, whoever you spend your lunch break with today. We begin with item number one on the lunch breakdown. Hideki Matsuyama makes history for the Japanese at Augusta. The dude absolutely lit the course up yesterday afternoon, had an opportunity to bring home a green jacket to Japan for the first time, was able to accomplish just that and did so in a very impressive fashion. Here's the final call from that dub.
Matsuyama is Japan's first Masters champion. Masters champion. There is some celebration going on right now halfway around the world. It's just after 8 o'clock in the morning back in Japan. Japan rejoices. It's a glorious new day. Yama has won the Masters Tournament. And now, for the first time, the land of the rising sun has a favorite son wearing a green jacket. Hideki Matsuyama is the Masters champion. Hideki, congratulations.
There you have it. Hideki Matsuyama becomes the first Japanese-born player to win at Augusta, and did so in a very impressive fashion, taking home that green jacket. Able to outpace Xander Schauffele down the stretch. Schauffele was in contention and a meltdown on 16 as he ends up going triple, dropping him down to 7-under. Will Zalatoris, the Wake Forest guy, ends up holding solo second place. A phenomenal, phenomenal tournament from Will Zalatoris. After rolling with the jokes about looking like Happy Gilmore's caddy, Zalatoris had an opportunity to collapse down the stretch and instead played some of the more impressive golf that anybody was able to put together this weekend. Ends on Sunday with a 2-under 70, a 9-under for the tournament. Jordan Spieth would end up tying Xander Schauffele for third at 7-under. John Rahm and Mark Leishman at 6-under, T5. Justin Rose, who had a 4-stroke lead going into the weekend, gives a whole bunch of them back, ends up 2-over on Sunday, a tournament 5-under, good for 7th. Patrick Reed, Corey Connors, the Canadian. Connors scores the 24th hole-in-1 in Masters history on Sunday en route to a 68, but gave 6 strokes back for a Sunday 64, 74. Ends up with Patrick Reed at 4-under T8. At T10, Cameron Smith, the Aussie, and Tony Finau. After Finau would turn in a 74 on Thursday and a 73 1-over on Saturday, shoots par on Sunday, a tournament low 66 on Friday. He ends up at 3-under T10. Webb Simpson, Stuart Sink, Kevin Na, Siwoo Kim, all at 2-under. Same for Robert McIntyre and Brian Harman. Siwoo Kim, and I don't know if you saw this, Lonzo. One of the things I love about the Masters is that sometimes I end up feeling more like I can relate to these guys than on any other tournament. Siwoo Kim on Saturday ends up on a par 4, missing a putt, slams his putter into the ground on 15. It snaps the head off of his putter. He ended up having to putt with a fairway wood for 16, 17, and 18. Putting with a fairway wood. And so, he didn't go worse than par putting with a fairway wood. I just love that the aggravation of this game, where you can hit one shot and it makes you forget about the 38 previous holes where you screwed everything up, I felt more related to Siwoo Kim, the South Korean, in that moment than I think I felt connected to any other athlete for a very long time.
Pardon my ignorance, but it is golf. So are you limited to the amount of clubs that you're allowed in your bag?
Yep, you get 14 okay. clubs in the bag, and once you are on the course, you are not allowed to add any more clubs to that bag, add nor subtract any clubs from the bag.
Now, there may actually be some people out there like me who didn't know that, so we have provided for them this rule, so now we know why.
That's what we're here for, Zoe, just to not just make your life better, but to educate you in the process.
Are you allowed to, like, borrow the putter of a guy who's also in your group? Could you
nope.
do that? You can't do that either.
Nope. You are limited to your clubs and your clubs only.
So you can't have your caddy run back to the clubhouse and buy one?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Correct. You take the clubs out, you finish with the clubs, and once you begin a hole with a golf ball, that is the golf ball you must use for the duration of the hole. You cannot change clubs nor balls throughout. Now, you can change balls hole to hole, but you cannot change golf balls.
Unless it's lost in the water or something.
Right, in which case you take a one-stroke penalty to drop another ball, which did happen to Xander Schauffele when he was trying to chase down Hideki Matsuyama late on Sunday, was within a couple of strokes, ended up putting a ball off a green and into the water, had to drop for another triple bogey the hole, and took him right back into contention. That's what I love about golf, Lonzo. One mishit, and you can take yourself from guy who is one stroke out of the biggest tournament in sports to guy who finishes tied for fifth, five strokes off the lead.
I got to admit, and as everyone knows, not a big golf fan, but I tuned in for the last hour. And when I tuned in, it was right when Shoffley was within reach. And I tuned in just in time to see him hit the water.
Oh, the meltdown. Yes. The meltdown was real. We're going to come back to that because what a moment in golf at 2:20 this afternoon. Savannah Lee, we had some phone issues on Friday and lost her. So she's going to join us at 2:20 on Monday. Are they still down?
Yes. Yes, they are.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not.
Super duper. Well, then I have two interviews to call and apologize during the next
break. and this is why you and I probably should communicate ahead of time.
So, probably.
So I dropped the ball on this. It's my fault.
No, not at all. You know, the whole talking about what we're going to do on the air thing, though, just gets in the way of a good social
life. Yeah, I know. You believe that something's going to be fixed by the time you get, and I don't know what the deal is with it, but some other businesses around the area also had problems same time. So yeah,
super cool. Well, then don't worry about giving the phone number out because we can't hear you anyway. Looks like you have to join us on the stream at facebook.com/ESPN Update upstate to chat with us. Item number two on the lunch break down, Shane Beamer and his Gamecocks took to the field for their first major scrimmage of the spring over the weekend. Shane Beamer would address the media afterwards. Here's a few of the thoughts that the new head man for the South Carolina Gamecocks issued after his first spring scrimmage as the clipboard carrier for the University of South Carolina.
Really pleased for a scrimmage one like where we are. Obviously, it was important. Point of emphasis was playing clean football. We talk about all the time about not beating ourselves by turning the ball over, having pre-snap penalties, mental errors, things like that. Penalties like false starts and offsides and stuff like that. We were really good. Play clock. We had the play clock going. We wanted to be able to make sure offensively we were moving and efficient in regards to getting the plays called, getting the offense in and out of the huddle, and had very, very minimal of those. And a lot of that was probably more on us as coaches than it was the quarterbacks. I thought they operated at a high level. So clean ball, wanted to be able to see us play physical, run the ball, stop the run, and we showed flashes of being able to do both. Continue to be impressed by the defensive line on that first group, JJ and those guys, the way they can rush the passer. Really like what the first offense did today. We were working in multiple quarterbacks with our second offense, so all those guys got some work, Jason, Connor, and Colton. There were some things from an efficiency standpoint with those guys moving through the scrimmage that we need to be better at. But for the most part, they were good, and the physicality was good. And then injury-wise, we got out of it pretty healthy, I think. Cam Smith has a little bit of a hamstring. He did not scrimmage today. Xavier Leggett started it and wasn't able to finish it. Nothing major. He'll be fine. Eric Douglas was not able to scrimmage. He has a little minor issue that shouldn't be long term at all. So we held those guys out. Those were the only new ones that didn't scrimmage and then want to come in. Alex Boogie Huntley as well. He had a little bit of a shoulder issue. Probably the first 5 minutes of the scrimmage that normal person that may have kept him out for the rest of the scrimmage, but not him. He battled through that and got it fixed by the trainers on the sideline and was right back out there and finished the scrimmage. So it was good to see that and talk to the guys about that afterwards as well. The mentality that we need to play with all the time, physical and mental toughness, and thought he showed that as well. And it was good overall. As you guys know, we've talked about it. We're thin in some spots, particularly on defense. And when you have guys like Jalen Dickerson, who's out still right now, and then Cam Smith not being able to scrimmage today, that takes an already depleted secondary and makes it even more depleted. So our second team corner today was a young man by the name of James Bartholomew that just arrived on the football team back in January or February in the walk-on tryouts. And he's playing corner today with the second defense. Much respect for him. He made a heck of a play on a 3rd-and-1 where he came up in a short yardage situation, tackled a guy on the perimeter for a lost yardage play, in a critical situation. So, you know, much respect for him and the way that all of our guys are fighting through some bumps and bruises and showing who we can count on and who's dependable and whatnot, and like where we're headed right now. And really eager to get in here and watch the practice tape here as soon as I get done with you guys, and a lot to build on. So sorry for the extended opening statement, but be glad to take any questions.
There you go. There is Shane Beamer, the head coach of your South Carolina Gamecocks, talking after their scrimmage on Saturday. A handful of guys sitting out with injuries, but was relatively happy. Said the mental mistakes were not there, and that's what I'm looking for, Lonzo, more than anything else. Limit the mental mistakes. I would argue that mental mistakes were one of the biggest issues that took place under Will Muschamp. If that is truly indeed a focus for Shane Beamer, to get disciplined, to knock out the mental mistakes, to knock out the dumb penalties, especially the pre-snap stuff, that's already a step in the right direction, Lonzo.
Absolutely, because one of the things about a Will Muschamp team, you knew that they were going to lose concentration at some point. You were going to look at the field and go, those guys aren't trying. And so if there aren't any mistakes and you got some hustle out there, it's already a major improvement from what we've had.
And finally, we're going to come back to that in a little while as well. But then finally, on Friday, and this happened after we got off of the air, so we weren't able to really get into it, unfortunately, before we took our break. On Friday, USC men's basketball coach Frank Martin and the school's board of trustees signed off on a revised contract, which came after weeks of political pressure to save Frank Martin's job. Bob Caslin wanted to replace Martin after the season. It's come through reports and rumors, but some state senators, and we talked pretty in depth about this over the last couple of weeks, basically kind of threatened funding for some university projects in hopes of keeping Martin employed, and enough members of the board refused to support Bob Caslin's desire to move on. So USC Athletics Director Ray Tanner said Friday he was never directed by Caslin to fire Frank Martin, but rather to undertake a review of the program. On Friday, Frank Martin was announced to getting a two-year extension to his contract, which now runs through March 31st of 2025. His total compensation of $3.3 million a year, which is where his salary will be after the 2022-2023 season, will not change for two additional seasons. If Martin is fired without cause after next season, his buyout would be $3 million. For next season, his buyout would be prorated to the point the university would owe him no buyout if fired after the season. And for the final two seasons of the revised contract, there would be no buyout. If Martin terminates the contract himself, he does not face a buyout owed to the university. So it looks like he got his extension. He will stay on board, but as kind of a olive branch between the two parties, it is basically set up to where Frank Martin gets to coach the team this upcoming season. If he earns his job, great. He stays on through 2025. If they have another disappointing season and the university decides to move on, it takes the buyout off the books. So I don't hate this as much after thinking about it on the weekend as I thought I would on Friday. Basically, what you've done is said, all right, Frankie, you get it together this year or you're gone and we don't owe you another dime. It's kind of an escape clause that allows Frank Martin one more shot at Carolina, which I think now makes sense. Remember on Friday, we were talking about that South Carolina's hitting the transfer portal as hard as anybody else in the country. In fact, they signed another player off the portal. Now all of a sudden, Lonzo, this makes sense. Because Frank Martin understands if he doesn't get it done this year, he's probably gone based on what this extension looks like.
Yeah, there was an air of desperation when we were talking about it Friday. So this is now we know why. Now we know why that he is coaching for his job and he's doing, which, you know, it makes you wonder, well, why aren't you doing this every year as far as coaching for your job? But we'll see what happens. He has the potential to do really well. When he first came there, everybody was really high on him. He got them into a long run in the tournament, and then after that, nothing. So let's see what happens, but good on him for betting on himself.
We're going to talk more about that coming up later on in the show as well. It is going to be a busy one. I would give you the phone number, but our phones are still down. So you got to text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo One Word, and at ESPN Upstate. Quick break back after this. Rob Lonzo, you. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Phone line's down, so you got to text us at 71307. 71307 is the number. Start your text with ESPN. Those of you on the stream, those of you not on the stream, join us at Facebook.com/ESPN Upstate or Twitter.com/TheRobBrownShow or YouTube.com/TheRobBrownShow. You can leave your comments on any of those live stream platforms. They will populate with us here on our screen, and we can read them on the air. So get at us on the live stream. Leave your comments, thoughts, suggestions, critiques, and the like, and we will address those as we move on. Real quick, wanted to throw this out. Golf. Hideki Matsuyama wins the Masters this weekend. And, you know, it was interesting to watch. One of the reasons that I love golf, Lonzo, is it kind of gets a rep of being a sport for stodgy old white dudes, right? That's let's just be honest, that's the rep golf has. But if you looked at the field this weekend, you had Hideki Matsuyama from Japan, your winner, and his I don't know if you saw this, Lonzo, but after the round was over, as Hideki was shaking hands with Xander Schauffele and getting hugs from his family and all that, his caddy, also from Japan, walked over, put the pin back into the hole, and then turned and bowed to the golf course itself, showing that deep love and appreciation for Augusta and what that golf course means to the guys on tour, etc. When Hideki got the jacket on, the guy who had been kind of a stalwart of just absolute, not emotionless golf, because he started to smile when they got towards 18 and he realized that all he had to do was make a bogey on 18 and he was going to win the Masters. But from 1 through 17, Hideki Matsuyama was business, man. He had a business mentality. But when he got the green jacket and he put it on, man, he threw those fists up in the air. He gave the fist pump. There are pictures coming out this morning. Hideki Matsuyama flying back to Japan was spotted in O'Hare International Airport today, carrying that green jacket as if it was his own child, smiling and taking pictures with folks. He was just thrilled to have won the Masters. It is a sport, though, that does not, as far as I am concerned, get the respect that it deserves for being a sport that fosters love from everybody. Japan is a country that loves its golf. There have been many great Japanese golfers over the years. None of them have been able to bring a green jacket back to the land of the rising sun. Hideki Matsuyama does it. And between his caddy bowing to the golf course, between his emotion finally letting out in the green jacket ceremony in O'Hare International this morning, as he's talking with fans and chatting and smiling and taking pictures. So golf, I think, and Augusta specifically, kind of put on a show this weekend with Aussies and Brits and Americans and South Africans and folks from around the world showing up and showing the love and emotion based around that tournament. I was so happy for Hideki Matsuyama. I was happy for his caddy. I was excited. I was happy for his family. And I'm happy for the country of Japan, who, after sending great golfer after great golfer over to try, finally have a Masters champion of their own. I cannot imagine the party going on right now And more importantly, the party that will be going on tomorrow when Hideki Matsuyama makes his debut in Japan with that green jacket. What a tremendous event that was. Even if you're not a golf fan, what a tremendous, tremendous showing yesterday out of Augusta.
All those things are awesome, and everything you said is true. The only thing that I think is different, I think when the caddy bowed he was bowing saying, hey, we beat you. That's bowing to a defeated opponent. Respectful, but still at the same time going, we beat you.
Yeah, but I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, it's still a sign of respect.
I didn't say there's anything wrong with it. I think it's cool, but I like to think of it along those lines because golf, even though they're competing with each other, they're not really. They're competing against the course.
Absolutely. I think that's why I love golf, Lonzo, because it's you don't have one opponent. You have two. You don't have one opponent. Yes, there are. You know, there were 40 other guys, 50 other guys on the golf course yesterday. That Hideki Matsuyama was looking at the leaderboard and seeing guys moving up and down. Xander Schauffele coming up towards him. Will Zalatoris coming up towards him. And he's having to deal with understanding that these guys are making late charges. But at the end of the day, the only thing that controls where Hideki Matsuyama ends up on the golf course is himself. He's the one that hits the shots. Whatever Xander Schauffele does is irrelevant. It's up to Hideki Matsuyama whether he birdies, pars, or bogeys every hole coming down the stretch. For him to say he defeated Augusta, I'm fine with that. Augusta's a worthy opponent. That's why we love it. How many guys did we see hitting out of pine straw and having to dodge trees because that course put up the challenge that we want to see it put up? Even if it is showing respect to a defeated opponent in Augusta National, it was still a sign of respect. And to me, Zoe, it shows that Hideki and his caddy understood just how difficult it is to win against the opponent that is Augusta, and it showed how much it meant. That's the caddy. That's not even the golfer. That's the guy who was helping the golfer, recognizing how difficult that course can make his job and Hideki's job. I respected it, man. I respected it. They respected the course. And again, if you are a fan of Japanese golf, then you finally got your champion. After this many years, you finally got your champion, and I love to see it. So congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama. For those that have said that golf is not the same without Tiger, I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to say you're wrong, but if you watched Augusta yesterday, even if you just watched the final hour and a half of that tournament yesterday, you saw that golf is a great sport that can bring people from around the world together, and I absolutely loved it. I loved every second of it, man. Because I felt it. I felt it. Quick break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Let's break this Frank Martin situation down just a little further. A 2-year extension offered by the University of South Carolina. But it comes along with a caveat that puts Frank Martin in a spot where he has to win and win now. We'll address that next on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you here. Frank Martin has got himself a 2-year extension with the Gamecocks of South Carolina. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Ray Tanner talked with the media after the board meeting on Friday where they announced the extension. We'll talk a little bit of the details, but I wanted to give you a minute or two of what Ray Tanner had to say about the extension with Frank Martin. Here is Ray Tanner, the USC Athletics Director, after the extension was announced.
Ray, how much did Senator Jackson's comments to Bob Caswell a couple of weeks ago impact this decision with Frank Martin, if at all?
I wasn't involved in that. Obviously, I wasn't at the hearing that day, and you know, I heard bits and pieces, but it didn't affect me in any way, the recommendation that I made to President Caswell, and that's my line of communication and my reporting lines, that I ultimately made a recommendation to President Caslin that we extend Coach Martin by 2 years.
And did Frank Martin's buyout have any, the amount of his buyout, did that have any influence on your recommendation to give him this contract?
It did not. I think that, you know, it's fair to say that it was a lengthy review according to maybe what a lot of reviews are. It was lengthy, but ultimately it did not affect it. I looked into it. I had a number of meetings with Coach Martin personally, and arrived at the decision that I would recommend a two-year extension.
Did President Kaslin want you to make a change?
No. He never told me what to do. He deferred to me as the athletics director to do assessment and report back to him, which I did.
Why do you think it took this long to reach this decision following the end of the season?
Well, I think that, you know, this was an unusual year, as we all know, that you have to go back and look at where we are as a program. This was an unusual year with COVID, that we crowned a national champion in Baylor. There were a lot of teams that had really successful years, others that were impacted in a lot of ways. We had a head coach that went through a physical challenge himself. We had 27 days of missed practice. We had a number of players that missed time. It was challenged at a time that maybe some other programs weren't. We did take that into consideration. But at the end of the day, you also, it's a year. But you go back and look at what happened in the last 5 years as well. And there are some very positives under Coach Martin's tenure here. I think there were a couple of final three, a regular season three finishes, a four, a six. So there were some good things there. Did we make the NCAA tournament? We didn't. So that's a glaring thing that stands out, and you take a look at that. I mean, ultimately, you want to be playing at the end of the year.
Ray, any conversations that you've had with Frank recently, have they been about we need to make the tournament next year? Has there been that kind of caveat, you know, for his future?
I haven't had a direct conversation to that type of language. Obviously, we talk about it, but I'll tell you that since he's been here, and we kind of came in together within, you know, a few weeks or months of each other, Eric Hyman hired him, and then I came in after that. We've always had very amicable conversations and forthright, and have been very honest with each other, and have been able to work well together.
So there you go. There's just a little bit. That audio from our friends at Sports Talk SC, sportstalksc.com, that's where that audio comes from. And you can go listen to the rest of that interview there. So Friday announced a revised contract, which came weeks after pressure to save Frank Martin's job. There were rumors, reports that Bob Kaslin wanted to replace Martin after the season, but a number of state senators implied that funding for some university projects might be affected by a $6 million buyout that would be required for Frank Martin. But enough members of the board decided not to support the decision to move on from Frank Martin, so he gets a two-year contract extension that runs through 2025. His total compensation of $3.3 million, which is where his salary will be after the 2022-23 season, will not change for the additional two seasons. So no raise coming for Frank Martin. But if he is fired without cause after next season, his buyout will be $3 million. For the next season, his buyout will be prorated to the point the university would owe him no buyout if fired after that season. And for the final two seasons of the revised contract, there would be no buyout. If Martin terminates the contract himself, he does not face a buyout owed to the university. So basically, Zoe, what this is looking like is that if Martin is fired without cause after next season, he would get $3 million instead of $6 million. If he is fired the year after that, or the year after that through the 2025 season, he would not be owed a buyout at all. And if Martin at any point decides to walk away, and there have been some rumors that Frank Martin may decide to move on to another job or to just call it quits in Columbia, he would not owe the university any money to buy out the contract on that end. So we said one, really, Zoe, it looks like it comes down to the buyout is decreased for next year, which is telling Frank Martin, here's the deal, man. We might have to give a little bit of way out the door, but we are getting very serious about you getting very serious about this job. He has 1 year for the $3 million buyout. After that, they would not owe him a dollar, which puts the impetus on Frank Martin to improve dramatically next season and to put real results on the board the season after that, or it'll be time to move on. Look, if I'm the Gamecocks, I'm not thoroughly displeased by this. I know, Zoe, there were a lot of Gamecocks fans that were ready to move on from Frank Martin. I don't think they were wrong in that feeling. But if there were state senators that were pushing to keep him around, that were talking about how the funding, well, I don't love that. I don't love inside politics having more of a say than the athletic director and the president of the university as to what happens with the program. But if that was the case, this is about as close to a compromise as you can reach, Lonzo. It puts the pressure on Frank Martin to start performing like now, which now all of a sudden, all those transfer portal signings that we talked about on Friday that did have an air of panic to them, all of a sudden those make a lot more sense.
Yeah, he looks like he's putting together a team to try and save his job, and it makes you wonder, you know, why haven't you done that in the past? But that amount of transfer portal players, and he had to fill some spots because a bunch of people bailed on him. And that's also a sign when all your players are bailing on you, what's going on? Is it a sinking ship? Is it you? Is it the school? What is it? And imagine being in that position, knowing that you need to win now and win, at least make the tournament to keep your job. And he's going about the only avenue he has, and that's the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've talked about the transfer portal. I know, you know, Mark and Lonzo are not fans. I think Diesel and I care a little bit less. We think that players have every right to have control over their future. It's a philosophical difference. But whether you like it or not, let's be honest, in the world of college basketball today, if you want to be successful, you either be a damn good recruiter that can keep kids happy and around, or you understand that you have to take advantage of the transfer portal. As far as Frank Martin himself goes, like here's the reality. There are many cases, many situations in which people do their best work when they realize their job is on the line. And I don't think Frank Martin has really felt like his job is on the line. I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but for many people, they have a tendency to get complacent when they know that they are not at threat. They have a tendency to get complacent. They have a tendency to get comfortable and not make changes, not do things differently. I think that this negotiation was a way for South Carolina to look at Frank Martin and say, you have seemed complacent. We are not happy with complacency. And now you get, we're not firing you. Your job is not immediately on the line. We're not going to kick you out the door at the end of the season when lose or draw. That's where that $3 million buyout for next year comes in. But just know that we are looking 2 years down the line, and you better show out. And I think that's what we have here, Lonzo. It is shaking things up so that Frank Martin cannot be complacent and comfortable, and I think that's why you've seen the move South Carolina's made in the last 5 days.
Now, will it pan out? I mean, will he be able to win with the kids that he's brought in from the transfer portal? I can't wait to see if he's able to do it. But we're going to have to wait a little while.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. Let's take a break. My name is Rob Brown. Lonzo is at the helm. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, Lonzo has brought the curse of the Zoe onto the show. I'll tell you what that means when we return on the Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on, steaming towards the end of hour number one. Coming up in the next segment of the show, I was going to do it here, but I don't have enough time to go on the rant that I am prepared to go on. Zoe, the cash cow content king, has brought the curse of the Zoe onto the show. He has dictated something that must happen. I was not prepared for it, but here we are. Lonzo has created what apparently is going to be a weekly segment without even knowing he did it at the time. I'm going to tell you what it was or what it is when we come back. Suffice to say, Major League Baseball once again has a major yet easily solvable issue that they don't know what the hell to do, and it made them look embarrassingly bad last night. Embarrassingly bad. I'm going to tell you what that is coming up here in the next segment of the show. We got a breakdown of South Carolina's spring scrimmage number one. South Carolina will be back on the practice field tomorrow. There is another scrimmage coming up on this Saturday, and then on the 24th is the South Carolina spring game. We'll keep you up to date on everything going on Gamecocks football. Sam Darnold on a revenge tour, it looks like. He said in the media over the weekend that it hurt and was disappointing that the Jets no longer wanted him. Do you think that Sam Darnold on the revenge tour is something that will get you all hot and bothered if you are a Panthers fan? Plus, the NFL, easily fixable issues, the NFL has issued an apology to a team for something that happened 2 years ago. And I've got a news flash for Roger Goodell, the Ginger Hammer. Hey, Rog, doesn't make it better, doesn't fix the problem, doesn't change anything, right? So we're going to talk about that coming up later on. And in the next hour, win or lose, they still booze. A company has done a thorough poll to find out which teams in America at the professional level have the fans that drink the most and why. We're going to see if any of our local teams made it onto that list.